This is 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Leah Fleming. For generations, Black women have gathered together to share all kinds of insights and wisdom and encourage one another. Well, now Georgia Public Broadcasting wants to bring those candid conversations to TV with a new talk show. It's called A Seat at the Table. It's hosted by Monica Kaufman Pearson, the first woman of color to anchor the daily evening news in Atlanta. New York Times bestselling author Deneen Milner, who co-wrote Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man with Steve Harvey, and Christine White, an Atlanta attorney and business strategist. Good morning to you, ladies.
Good morning.
All right, Monica, let's start with you. So why create a show about Black women and then give it that title?
Because far too often our opinions are not heard because people don't want to hear them. And far too often we've had to bite our tongues when we hear comments made by people. So this is the opportune time to have three women from three different backgrounds to give their views on things that have been bothering us for a long time and that we need to say enough is enough and here's why.
Now, as you know, African-American women are challenged in some very unique ways, especially in the workplace. Over the last several months, there's been hashtags that have cropped up like Black Women at Work and Black Girl Magic. They're really places for where women are sharing their stories in the workplace and in their everyday lives. What is it, though, that makes the workplace such a brutal place for so many Black women? That's what we're seeing on social media. What is it that's doing that?
I'm not sure what it is, but I know the reality of it is that Black women feel silenced to a large degree, and it's not until something happens that they just cannot hold their tongue anymore, that they have to speak up. And then, of course, at that point, it's been bottled up. It has been sort of repressed and oppressed. And we tend to come off as either very angry, or we come off as sort of this coddling mammy, or we come off as, the Jezebel being sort of too fast and too ambitious and too much like a diva. And all of these stereotypes, I think, affect the way we're treated at work and affect our opportunities. And so we hope that we can shed light on how those experiences really affect us so that the people who are involved in those experiences and maybe perpetuating those experiences without even knowing it, understand what damage it does.
And I think that's the beauty of not just the hashtags like Black Women at Work. That's the beauty of A Seat at the Table, in that we're creating this space where we can all come together and say, no, girl, we're not crazy.
Right.
Like, we all have these experiences and we all understand that it was hurtful and that we couldn't say anything because sometimes we're pretty much the only people in the room. We're the only Black women in the room. I know that pretty much every job that I ever had before I became a freelance writer and author was the only person in the room, the only Black woman in the room, from the person at the top to the person cleaning the toilets.
Right.
And so to be able to congregate and do what we do behind hashtags, but also on A Seat at the Table, is like I refer to it as like being in the car with my girlfriends and us having a conversation on the way somewhere, and we're high-fiving each other and saying we're validating one another. We understand that we all have a really common experience around what it means to be a Black woman in these spaces where your voice is not heard. And so I'm just pleased as punch. I really am.
And even if we don't agree, we are able to give each other the space and the room to speak our minds, which is not necessarily, that doesn't happen very often. So a lot of times if you don't agree, you're shut down, but we give each other the space to think the way that you think. I can respectfully disagree, and that's valid too.
Certainly there are some people that will say that the show doesn't include all ethnicities of women or even people, so it's racist. How do you respond to that?
Excuse me, how many shows are there on the air with no Black people on them? Are those shows considered racist? That we are not having it.
Right, that's right. And the way that I choose to look at it is, this is an opportunity for you to have a window into the way that we think, the way that we see our own perspectives, and the way that we move in the world when you're not in the room and we're not intimidated or feeling like we're shut down or that we can't raise our voices. Take the opportunity to come in and see how we think. take the opportunity to appreciate that there are different perspectives that perhaps you haven't heard because you haven't bothered or, you know, you just don't know how to be a part of that conversation with Black women.
So it's a show really for everybody.
Recently, rapper French Montana and former Fox News personality Bill O'Reilly attacked two different Black women who were voicing their opinions. They were met with derogatory comments about their hair. I asked the host, what is it about Black women's hair that causes controversy? Deneen Milner started the conversation by arguing that society's definition of beauty may be the issue.
I mean, I think that it has to do with this constant insistence on what is beautiful and Black women falling outside of whatever pop culture decides today is beautiful. When it is on a white woman, then it translates as something that's edgy and hip and beautiful. But when it is presented on Black bodies, specifically Black bodies that belong to women, that presentation just falls flat for folks. It took a long time for me to get to the space where I could close out what pop culture was saying, close out sort of the nastiness and the vitriol that comes when people consider the beauty of Black women and appreciate myself for what I am and who I am and the way that I look. And so for people like French Montana, I'm glad that people crawled all inside of his you-know-what, because he needs to know that that's unfair, it's rude, it's a lie that, you know, a person with hair like mine is nappy. I look at the word nappy in the same way that I look at the N-word. They're both N-words to me, because they're both meant to be disrespectful.
Monica Kaufman Pearson reflected on her own career as a news anchor in Atlanta and the changes that she was forced to make in her early years.
When I first came to Atlanta, I had a fro. In 1975. But I also knew if I wanted to be accepted on the air by everyone, I was going to have to, quote, look at that time very middle American. So what I used to do is just put a wig on, press the front of my hair so it blended in and it looked fine. Once I established myself, then I took the wig off and wore my natural hair. And it was amazing. I had just as many Black folks calling me complaining about it as I did white folks. And that was because it was like a self-hate. I would have people say to me, you know, why don't you just put a bone in your nose? You're representing the Black community. I said, well, I think even with straight hair, everybody knows I'm Black. You know, it's not going to make a difference. I can remember reading in history how in New Orleans at the turn of the century, that African women, Black women, were actually asked to cover up their hair because they were wearing their natural hair in such beautiful styles that many women found it, white women found it very threatening. And so there was this rule passed that Black women should tie up their hair. Well, you know what we did? We became very creative with how we tied it. And then that became a distraction. So hair, I think, has always, particularly Black hair, has been very seductive, very sexy, and the people who have a problem with it don't really. It's just they want to touch it and get in it.
The show's third host, Christine White, says many Black women go through beauty routines that drain them both physically and emotionally.
The process of going into the shop and having my hair sort of plaited to my head and then having this hair that doesn't look like the hair that grows out of my head, sewed to my head, I mean, it's just emotionally painful. Let me say that. It's much deeper than just what most people would think about, like makeup or other beauty issues. It's something that hits to the core. I remember one woman saying that hair is for Black women what weight is for white women. And I thought that was really insightful because the way that I have seen and have heard my white girlfriends sort of obsess over their weight as a defining piece of their experience, I think that that is the same sort of pressure and can elicit the same sort of pain and frustration for Black women.
I'm only going to add one more thing on this, and that is my theme song has always been, when NDRE came out with it, I said, that's my theme song. I am not my hair. I was a source of so much laughter. 15 when it all broke off. 18 when I went all natural.
February 2002, I went on and did what I had. The show is called A Seat at the Table. It's hosted by Monica Kaufman Pearson, Deneen Milner, and Christine White. Right now at gpb.org, you can watch the hosts discuss the politics of hair. I'll tweet out the link as well right now. My handle is @LeahRadio. A Seat at the Table premieres Sunday evening at 6:30. This is GPB Atlanta.
Like a slave at the turn of the century. It's time for us to redefine who we be. You